You won't ever be blindsided at checkout when you shop on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robaswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robaswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here with an exit interview talking to the latest player voted out of Survivor Koh Rong, and today we're going to be speaking with the young standout Julia Sokolowski. Is going to join us here on the podcast. We will talk to her about everything going on here in the post-merge game, that she was really working with both sides, got kind of caught on the wrong side of it last week. Ultimately, she goes home this week. We'll talk to her about everything going on there. Of course, last night after the episode, Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback, that's up on robaswebsite.com. And then today we are getting ready for our big Tyson cast. It's a every season tradition here on the podcast. Unless Tyson is on Survivor, we do it with Tyson. We get into everything. It's all one show, the recap and the voicemail. It's like a throwback show to when we used to have it all in one episode. So that's going to be coming up today. If you haven't gotten your voicemails in, we're going to be starting this in a couple of hours here. So don't dilly-dally. Get your voicemails in. Go to robaswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say with Tyson. If you want to make sure you don't miss it, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You know what to do. robaswebsite.com/iTunes or search for RHAP in your favorite podcatcher. We always appreciate your comments and star ratings because it helps more people find the podcast. All right, looks like we have Julia here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Julia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Very good. And I'm happy to be talking to you. Not happy that you're out of the game, but I thought that I was very impressed by the game that you played out there, Julia.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
It's easy to come in as an 18-year-old, and God knows what I would have been doing at 18 years old on Survivor.
I know. It was crazy. It was so sudden, so ridiculous. You know, I just only like, I think 5 or 6 months before that moved away to college. So it was like a big transition.
Right. I shouldn't have even been allowed to go to college, let alone to Survivor at 18 years old. But let me get into talking about all this stuff with you. Now, did you know going into that tribal council that Michelle and Sydney were out on this plan?
You know what? I knew that Sid probably was. Sid was really tight with Aubrey. And so I don't think I could get her to budge as hard as I tried with the tie plan. I really, really knew that she was close with Aubrey. But what I'm going to say I was blindsided by was the fact that Michelle voted for me.
Yeah.
Overall, I knew I was on the chopping block. I knew that there was a good shot that I was going home. So I wasn't necessarily like blindsided as a whole, but I was really upset when I found out Michelle had voted for me. And I actually didn't even realize it until later at Ponderosa when I was like, trying to figure out the votes. And I was like, what? Like, and you know, she stood up and hugged me and was crying. And so it all suddenly like registered to me. And I was really, really caught off guard by that.
Yeah. We were trying to figure it out as we were watching the episode last night in terms of like who really were like, what things were people just saying to tell you guys and how much were people actually tempted to vote a certain way. So where did Michelle leave things off with you before the tribal council?
Yeah, you know, Michelle told me that she was voting tie with me, and she told me that that Aubrey and Joe and Ty were voting Jason. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I knew that there was definitely a potential for me to go home. At that point, I think that I was probably a bigger threat than Jason because of playing the middle. So I knew that I was on the chopping block, but when things right before we left the tribal, things were great with Michelle, and I really, really did trust her.
So going into last night's episode, following the vote where we had Scott go home, that you seemed like that you were very much firmly with Jason at that point. Did you go back at all and say, boy, I wish I would have maybe more like Michelle tried to make nice with the other side?
Yeah, of course I did. There were times where I was like, oh, I need to be in the majority. I really, really do. I think that this is like in terms of numbers, this is where I need to be. But my relationship with Aubrey at the time was so tense. We were so you could say hostile. Mm-hmm. We just really just weren't clicking at all. And it all stemmed from, to be honest, the Peter vote when she crossed my name out. And I just, you know, everyone was like, oh, she saved you. She saved you. But I was like, she still wrote my name down. And from then on out, I had issue trusting Aubrey. And so I couldn't really work with her. It wasn't really an option for me. And therefore, it wasn't really an option for me to work with old Joe either. You know, he was holding Aubrey's hand, and they have a tight, tight, tight alliance. And so I was definitely, my hands were tied.
I wanted to talk about your relationship with Aubrey. Was that animosity? Was that more on your end towards her, or did you feel like that she had animosity towards you for some reason?
No, I definitely think it was two-sided. However, Aubrey was able to recognize my strategy. She was able to, you know, point out the fact that I was threatening at this point in the game. And I think that's where my youth kind of shines through, because I was just bitter towards her. I didn't want to accept her strategy. I didn't want to give her any credit. And so I definitely think that's where, you know, my age really is shown, where my immaturity comes through. And I learned a lot about maturity from Aubrey and a lot about the power of intelligence. And so now watching it back, I think Aubrey is so strategic. I think she's playing an incredible game. And I was just so, so, so bitter.
I want to talk about the couple of previous votes to this, because you were a big mm-hmm. figure in the votes that led up to everything from this week's episode. So going back to the vote where Scott went home, when Ty is deciding whether or not to play his idol, you're saying to Ty, play the idol, play the idol. Now, we were a little confused by that, because don't you want Ty to go home? Wouldn't that serve you if Ty goes home with the idol in his pocket if the votes were against him in that spot?
Yeah, absolutely. But at that time, I seriously thought I was in a power position right there. And so I thought that if Ty had played the idol would be gone. And I thought the boys were voting Sydney and Sydney would just go home.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just completely blindsided throughout that entire tribal council. And at the time, I wasn't, like, I obviously knew there was a super idol. I felt better about getting, I know it sounds a little crazy, but, like, I honestly felt better about kind of getting the idols out individually, so you at least have a little bit better idea of what's going on and who has the idols at what time. But I really thought that I was going to end up saving Ty and getting rid of this idol and then getting rid of a huge threat at this point, which is Sydney. So my perspective at that point was so skewed. I really thought I was in control, and I clearly wasn't.
Now, the really controversial vote was back at the final nine when Debbie went home, and that was the vote where you had immunity. But there was so much talk in the Survivor podcast world over who made the right move and why. So let's just go back to, why did you decide to change your vote and ultimately vote with the women against Debbie? Why was that the right move for you?
So I decided to vote with the women at that point because I was voting with the majority, but I wasn't hurting Scott, Jason, or Ty. So technically, it was beneficial to everyone. It was like, from a person who's playing the middle, it was the perfect move. Obviously by the next vote, I realized that was probably the worst move and I should have gotten rid of Sydney, because I probably could have wrangled Debbie over to my side, as much as she didn't want to work with Jason and Scott. I really didn't realize, I was really naive to how supportive Debbie was of me. She really, really did have my back. And at the time, I honestly thought she was full of it. So I watched that episode and I genuinely did feel a little bit bad, because I thought Debbie was so tight with Aubrey that she was just like feeding me false information, which wasn't true. But yeah, that night I felt great about that move. I really did. I was like in with the top majority. I proved that I was with them, and then I didn't hurt Jason, Scott, or Ty. And they were really fine with the vote. And they thought they had pulled off this incredible move, that the girls had gotten rid of one of their own, but really it was just like the perfect move for everyone. Later on, it obviously, didn't work out, but at the time it was great.
But looking back to that spot, that was really the point in the game where you really had three different ways you could have gone. And you were the one really holding all of the cards at that point in the game, especially you also had immunity. There was no chance it was going to come back against you. So there was the Jason and Scott plan where you could have voted against Sydney and Sydney would have gone out there. Then there was the Aubrey-Sydney plan to take out Debbie. But then there was the third option where Debbie wanted to split the votes and flush an idol. Why were you so against that move to split the votes and get an idol out of the game?
At that point, I just didn't even want to consider doing anything to harm my position with Jason and Scott. I really thought that they could be valuable to me a little bit later on. And I didn't want, first of all, I didn't want to get rid of either or on any, like all three of them, not one of them. I didn't want them gone. And I didn't want to like threaten them by being part of a plan that gets rid of one of their idols at that point. I wanted them to have a little bit more time, feel a little bit safer with me before doing any big moves like that. So that's kind of why I rid off Debbie's plan. And I knew a lot of other people did too. And, you know, I told Jason and Scott right away. I was like, this is the plan. This is the plan. I just want you to be aware that like, I'm with you right now. So I'm going to tell you what's going on. Which a lot of people think, you know, was very obvious and very blunt and straightforward. And it was, but I thought that, you know, this is the thing about this game is, you know, I had this long conversation with Scott. As soon as you feel comfortable, as soon as you have this power position, that's when it just loses you. Like you just think that you can do anything and you are in complete control and then it's just gone. And that's exactly what happened to me.
Now, in the previous vote to that vote where Nick ultimately goes home, there's all this talk at the tribal council where Ty starts talking about the super idol. And you're saying like, what super idol? I didn't know about this super idol. How much did you ultimately know about the powers of the idols being combined together in the game?
So that was the first I had heard that tribal where Nick was gone was the first I had heard idol. And that, definitely just like pushed me to go with the Nick vote. I really was not aware of the powers. Of course we went back to camp and I was like, okay, what the heck is going on? You need to fill me in now. And you know, the Jason, Scott and Ty would feed me bits and pieces of information in regards to the rules of the super idol, but I wasn't completely aware of how much power it held. I didn't really like, because I didn't see it in writing, because I just didn't really like consider it. I just didn't think of it as big a threat as it was and as much power as it was. And it didn't scare me as much as other people, which was naive of me, but I just wasn't fully aware.
Now, Julia, did you feel bad when you watched the episode last night that you were the one saying, hey, when Ty's not around anymore, let's eat his friend, Mark the Chicken?
Yeah, you know, actually, this is actually the comment that I've gotten the most backlash on the entire season. People are like being ridiculous. They're commenting on my Instagram. They're like, Mark is going to haunt you. Like all this crazy stuff. But, you know, I did feel a little bit bad. But at the same time, I was so fuming mad. Mark became like a big, big part of everyone's story. You know, he almost became domesticated. He was like our little dog up in the shelter with us. It was Mark the Chicken was really just like domesticated. And he's great. He has a great, I think he has a shot.
You do not say that people should go out and try to kill other people's pets when you get mad at them then. So you take that back?
No.
Okay.
I take it back. I do.
You know, how did you get so close with Scott at the time that you came back from? You were exiled to Braun Beach by yourself. You came back, but you seemed like you instantly connected with Scott from what you said in the show. What was it about Scott that made you have such a tight bond with him?
Yeah, you know, I never in a million years would expect to connect with someone like Scott. It just, he wasn't, you know, when I like look at our cast, I just never considered Scott to be like I was going to work with him. It just didn't cross my mind. And as soon as I started talking to Scott, I kind of found, it sounds crazy, but like almost this like paternal kind of figure in him. You know, he has a daughter who's not that much younger than me. And I did look to him as a father figure. And Scott has been through a lot in his life and has a lot of wisdom. And although he has had these villainous moments, his main priority is his family. So he treated me like a daughter in so many ways. And I felt comfort in that. And I really, really enjoyed my time out there with Scott.
Now, you played the game at such a young age. You compared yourself to Natalie Tenorelli in your bio. But I thought from watching you that I thought you reminded me more of a different person that played with Natalie. I thought you were more like Andrea on the first go around. And I think that you might actually be a very dangerous player on a second time out. Do you want to play Survivor again?
Oh my gosh. I would absolutely love to play Survivor again. I would go in a heartbeat. I mean, right now I'm in like the thick of college, but like, you know, which was hard to leave for the first time. So I would definitely want to play. I think in a few years I'd have, you know, I'd have a really, really strong game. And yeah, I compared myself to Natalie Tenorelli because she was young and I admired her for that. But I also did in a few ways compare myself to Andrea. And I always have admired Andrea. And even in casting, people were like, oh, you remind me of Andrea. And I really, truly love her and look up to her. So that's a huge compliment to me. So
yeah,
thank you.
I think so. I think, you know, finish college. I think, you know, the 22, 23 year old Julia, very, very dangerous. I think it's going to be, think I'd be very worried.
Thank you.
In a good way, in a good way. Anyway, Julia, thank you so much for coming. I thought you did a really good job in this exit interview. Very informative. One of the most informative, I think, that we've done this season. And I know your father was very happy. He was concerned you wouldn't make the merge and then you would not be dateable. So you could.
I know.
I'm sure your dad is thrilled now.
Yes. So happy.
Yes. All right. Julia, thank you so much and hope to see you at the finale.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Julia Sokolowski. Yes, she said that in her Ponderosa video when she got to Ponderosa. She said that my dad was his biggest concern when I went out here was that I wouldn't make the merge and that I would not be dateable. And so there you go. I think if I had a teenage daughter, I feel like that would be the furthest thing from my mind of worrying about how dateable she is and if she made the merge or not. But good job there by Julia. I really did think that she had really, really strong answers. And, you know, I thought that she was very self-reflective in terms of like, yeah, these were some of the things that I did wrong, which you do not always get in the exit interview. A lot of times that the exit interviews go like, well, you know, I knew this was going on and I knew this was going on. So that's why I made the perfect move there. They just didn't show it on the show. So that was a really strong exit interview, in my opinion. And all the best to Julia. All right, let's get into our weekly segment where we go back into the annals of Survivor history and talk about what happened on this very week through various points in the history of Survivor this week in Survivor history. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How's it going?
Oh, very good. Very excited to talk to you once again, go through everything that happened in the Survivor time machine with you.
Yeah, I'm excited too. We have some really good episodes to talk about today.
Okay, well, of course, this week in Survivor history is brought to us by our friends over at Pro Flowers, because in 2 weeks in the future, not this week in history, 2 weeks in the future, it's really sneaking up on us. Mother's Day is coming up May 8th. It's right around the corner. Don't get blindsided by Mother's Day. You know, moms are experts in all sorts of different things, whether it's relationship advice, fixing your cuts and bruises, which is always important and go wrong. My mom, Jordan, is an expert cook, expert in cooking chicken.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
She's an expert chicken cook.
You know what? As long as it's the chicken and the reward today and not Mark the chicken, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. So the best thing to do for your mom is get her a great Mother's Day gift. And that starts with Pro Flowers. You could get your mom 100 blooms, not Mike Bloom, 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling from Pro Flowers, because Pro Flowers takes the guesswork out of sending mom, grandma, or your wife the perfect Mother's Day gift. And you can't beat the price and convenience. Pro Flowers takes care of all the details. They send you flowers guaranteed to be fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days or your money back. Jordan, you can't beat that.
No, definitely not. I would take, you know, my mom loves flowers, so that's a great deal. You know, but the 100 Mike Blooms, that's a pretty sweet deal too.
100 Mike Blooms. You could even upgrade to a premium vase and add gourmet chocolates for just $9.99 more at proflowers.com with our promo code Reality TV. Just choose the delivery date you want on this date in future delivery history, and it's guaranteed a true no-brainer. So here's the only way to get 100 blooms with a free glass vase starting at $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on that blue microphone in the top right corner with our promo code Reality TV. That's proflowers.com. click on the microphone, type in reality TV. Remember, Mother's Day is next week. Order today. This offer expires Friday at midnight. All right, Jordan, let's get into everything from this week in Survivor history. Where do you want to go this week?
Okay, so we're going to take you 9 years ago this past Tuesday, April 26, 2007, and this is an episode from Survivor Fiji. And this is actually coming off one, probably the best episode from that season when Edgardo was blindsided, Dreams betrayed the Four Horsemen. But this is where now you have Alex and Mookie are in the game, and it's them against the world, and they, of course, are trying to fight to stay in.
I do remember the plight of the Four Horsemen. Looked like they had it. Looked like they kind of, it was going to work out for them. And then unfortunately, I kind of liked Edgardo and Alex. I felt like that they were sort of the brains of that operation.
I agree. I think they were probably both better players than Mookie. Mookie's, you know, he makes a decent amount of mistakes, not just in this episode, but in the whole season. And then, of course, he didn't have the greatest social game when it came to Anthony pre-merge either. But, you know, in this episode, I sort of like what he's trying to do. He's trying to stir up some drama amongst the Majority Alliance. And he actually does this when he and Alex decide to go check Yao Man's bag for the hidden immunity idol, and of course they find it.
Yeah, they got a whole foolproof plan that they've got this whole thing they're going to work out at Tribal Council. It's going to be amazing. Foolproof plan.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They say we're going to blow out Yao's spotted idol. They're going to, you know, pull kind of like a Jason and Scott plan where they make a big show out of it. But unfortunately, when you're making these great plans in the woods, you have to make sure that Cassandra and Stacy aren't hiding in the bushes, because yeah, they were.
Might have been a move ahead of its time, even, that we really don't see those sort of things happening in Survivor 14. Really not until we get into like the 20s, I feel like, where people are blowing up idol spots at Tribal Council, right?
No, it is something that wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have really seen many moves like this before. I don't think it would have worked, though. I actually like their plan. Well, I don't love the plan that they come up with, but I think there were better options out there, because the problem with bringing this up at Tribal, yeah, if you say Yao has an idol, the other people, you know, Yao could just be like, oh, they're just trying.
Yeah, they're still getting voted
us
out. Yeah.
Yeah. But it would have been better TV than what they ended up doing. So their actual plan is now that Cassandra and Stacy know about this, they decide that they're going to blackmail Yao Man and say, we're going to tell the whole tribe about the idol if you don't do it first.
Yeah, and how does that play out for them?
It doesn't work out well, because the rest of the tribe is just mad that they went through Yao's bag.
Yeah, he really gets everybody on his side. He's the victim, Yao Man, and a very endearing guy, Yao Man.
Oh yeah, one of the great characters in the show's history, and he's, you know, definitely someone who played a great social game and endeared himself to the rest of the tribe. But at this tribal council, the one where Mookie and Alex had originally wanted to blow up Yao's spot, Alex actually is able to blow up Mookie's game, his buddy Mookie, because they, you know, the majority splits the vote on Alex and Mookie in case there's some random hidden immunity idol that nobody knows about. But Alex puts a vote on Mookie, which breaks what would have been a tie and sends Mookie home. And I really like this from Alex. I mean, he kind of, in the final tribal council with the whole riddle me that dream,
yeah,
sort of comes off a little douchey.
He's pretty sore sport, I feel like. I liked Alex, but then he lost me.
Exactly. But this is probably my favorite Alex Angarita moment, when he votes for Mookie here, even though, you know, he screws over his friend, but he does last a little bit longer in the game, and you
That's
never
right.
know what's going to happen if you last 3 more days. I mean, he ends up getting voted out next, but.
Yeah, it is the classic move of, hey, there's two of us, and oh, I'm going to put my vote on you.
Yeah, so it worked out for Alex there, but it was short-lasted.
All right, Jordan, what else happened on this very week in Survivor history?
All right, so we're going to only go 1 year after that Fiji episode. We're going to go to Survivor Micronesia Fans versus Favorites, April 24th, 2008. That's 8 years ago this past Sunday. And we're going to take you to the auction to start out with, because this was a really fun auction. We had a lot of Eric Reichenbach licking chocolate over off of the women's fingers. We have James Clement eating fruit bat soup.
You liked it.
I did. Yeah, he did like it.
You liked it too?
Well, I don't know if I would have. I mean, you know, if I was starving, I probably would have eaten it. I've been known to eat some pretty weird foods. I
exotic palate.
I cook octopus regularly, which is actually one of the, I'm not even joking. I cook a lot of seafood, and octopus is one of them.
Wow.
Yeah. This is like finding out that David Bloomberg is a professional juggler. I'm a professional.
We're learning so much about
chef.
Jordan Kalish that it just randomly dropped a, I cook octopus regularly.
I really do. It's not even a joke. Octopus and squid. They're like two of my favorite foods. And that's actually one of the gag items in this auction is a thing of octopus. And I think I actually would have liked that. I'm kind of like Deb Eaton in that way, where I'm very pro octopus, but she actually doesn't want to eat them though.
Yes.
Anyway, back to Survivor fans versus favorites.
Yes.
The most important thing from this auction is that Natalie wins the ability to send somebody to Exile Island. Of course, this is coming right off of Ozzy going home with the hidden immunity idol in his pocket, which means that it's now hidden on Exile. And pretty inexplicably, she sends Jason there, who is on the opposite side. And, you know, and for some reason, he doesn't want to go. He's kind of shaking his head saying, don't send me, don't send me. But he should want to go.
He should want to go. But she's like sends him there and is horrible to him.
Yeah.
Very mean to him.
It's mean, but at the same time, he does find the idol. It could have saved him if he was smart. I don't see why, I understand, like, look, you want to stay at the auction, you want to get some food, but if your back's against the wall, and as a man playing Survivor fans versus favorites, you should know that your back's against the wall. He should have been happy to go to find the idol. But anyway, we're talking about Jason Siska. We're not necessarily talking about the greatest strategist of all time.
Yeah, but I did feel bad for him. And then she's like telling him that, like, oh, we have a secret alliance.
She calls him a bitch a lot in confessionals too.
Yeah, poor Prince Siska.
But Prince Siska. But anyway, one of my favorite moments from this episode is actually, so Jason does find the idol on Exile, and he has a great quote that, you know, someone's going to go home after giving this quote. He says, I feel the most comfortable I've felt in this entire game. Mm-hmm. And he comes up with this whole idea in his head that maybe Natalie sent him because she wants to work with him. And then meanwhile, back at camp, the women are coming up with this plan that's basically echoing what Jason is thinking. But of course, they're not very sincere about wanting to work with him.
Yeah. Poor Francisca. A sad story.
Nope. And he at tribal council, he does not play the idol. The women do a number on this guy. And he is the second person in a row to get voted out with the hidden immunity idol in his pocket.
All right. Jordan Kalish not only is an authority on Survivor history, also is an authority on apparently college football and the NFL football. I heard him really breaking down the NFL draft on our buddy Akiva's 32 Fans podcast, which you can find on iTunes.
Yeah, I really had a great time with that, talking to Akiva and Chester, making my NFL predictions that of course are sure to go wrong, to go wrong. But it was, it's a really great podcast. If you're a sports fan, or if you're just a fan, a RHAP fan who loves Akiva Whitaker, like I'm sure we all do. It's really a great thing to check out. And hopefully some of my predictions went right.
Okay. In terms of the actual New York Jets, what are they doing on Thursday? From the so-called draft Nick expert.
Okay, so from the draft expert, I have them taking the middle linebacker, Reggie Ragland. I really, really hope they don't do something crazy and take the quarterback, Paxton Lynch, because I don't think he's really a first-round talent.
Okay. All right, we'll see what happens Thursday night. Very excited. Hopefully I'm all done with my Tyson cast to watch NFL draft on Thursday. All right. Jordan, great stuff. Follow Jordan Kalish on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish. You have any octopus recipes you want to send him?
Yeah, that's, if you want him, I'll send you. Yeah, octopus teriyaki, baby.
Okay. Why octopus of anything? Have you tried everything teriyaki, and octopus is the best?
I cook a lot of food in teriyaki sauce and various hot sauces, and octopus just has a good texture.
What's the worst for Kalish teriyaki?
Nothing's ever come that bad that I've made with rice and teriyaki. I'm like 10 for 10.
All right.
Unlike the Jets on all their draft picks, they'll probably end up taking a tight end in the first round for all we know.
How's that Mark the Chicken teriyaki?
I would never cook Mark the Chicken. I'll cook every other chicken, even Gloria, but I'm not cooking Mark the Chicken.
All right. Good stuff. All right. Take care, Jordan.
You too.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish, the octopus-loving Jordan Kalish. All right, so we've got the Tyson cast coming up. We're going to probably get into starting to record that around 4 p.m. Eastern time. So not a lot of time to get your voicemails in unless you're listening to this podcast as soon as it drops. But if you have a chance, get us those voicemails. On Friday, we're going to get back into everything Big Brother Canada and The Amazing Race. Derek Levasseur, winner of Big Brother 16 and former housemate of Beast Mode Cowboy, will be joining us on the Big Brother Canada podcast on Friday afternoon. That's going to be at 6 p.m. Eastern live, 3 p.m. Pacific. And then I'll get back into everything with Jessica Leese as we round out the last couple of weeks of The Amazing Race 28 with her live at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. Hope everybody has a great Thursday. Enjoy the NFL draft, the podcast, everything going on. Have a good one. Take care, everybody. Bye.